My sermons have been too long lately. And I want to point out your graciousness in not telling me that. I figured that out on my own. Hence, I have my watch on my hand today. And I'm going to try to do a little bit better job. You know what? If it was just us adults here, I'd preach till midnight. But we got kids and stuff like that. You know, we got to have time to absorb. So I'm working on that, and I think it's important to work on. Just wanted to tell you that I'm working on it, okay? Because I wore myself out last Sunday. Now, from the time I finish my introductory comments, I'm going to mark time, okay? I want that. So I'm going to keep my short, though, okay? I am really impressed by you ladies here at this church.
Amen.
Now, I'll tell you why that I'm impressed. For many different reasons, but among these reasons, something that really interested me was the fact that today, my schedule that I make weeks in advance had me talking about wives and their responsibilities to their husbands. That's the normal sermon that was to be placed for today, but I looked and I saw that's Mother's Day. I would like to talk about mothers. And a great, vast, huge number of you ladies said, no. Stay on your schedule. And I was like, wow. I found that kind of cool that you ladies are really concerned about being the godly wives that you want to be. Okay, now having said that, I want to say I love mothers because I wouldn't be here without them, right? I think this way. In me honoring mothers, I honor God. Do you agree with that, church?
Amen.
All you mothers, stand up. And do one of you song leaders know this song? So I'm going to do this. We love you with the love of the Lord. I can see you now. If raise your hand or something. Does anybody know that? Boy, you're in real bad shape. Okay, here it is. We're going to sing this to the Lord, thinking about honoring the gift that He's given to us, our mothers. He goes, we love you. This is how it goes. We love you with the love of the Lord. We love you with the love of the Lord. We see in you the glory of our King, and we love you with love. That's it. We love you with the love of the Lord. We love you with the love of the Lord. We see in you the glory of our King, and we love you with the love of the Lord. Okay, stay standing up. If you're a woman, stand up also. If you're a girl, a female, I want to see where you are, because I'm going to be talking to you today. Men, we are outnumbered. Okay, you can be seated. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 31 today. If you'd like to get your Bibles and be turning that way. As I started an intense study into what the wife is supposed to be in the marriage relationship, everything, every place, every thought kept bringing me back to Proverbs chapter 31. So we're going to use Proverbs 31 as our base text. And I will not finish all of it today. It's a two or three-parter, okay? And I want to tell you that I am probably more excited than anybody else about this lesson today, because I have learned what my wife is supposed to be, and that helps me better be the leader in the family that I'm supposed to be. I grew probably more this week than anyone in regard to this. Let me start by telling you a story. There's the story is told of a South Pacific island. And on this island, there exists a culture, a tradition, to where when the young men want to get married, this is what they do. They go out into the community and they gather up the community. And they say, I have an announcement. announcement to make. I have chosen my wife. And then that guy, that young man, takes the entire community to the girl's house and knocks on the door. And the daddy comes out, and the dad and the young man, they commence the bartering for the daughter. Now, I want you to look past the fact that seems chauvinistic, okay? This is a South Pacific island. They've got their own culture and tradition. They commenced a bartering for the daughter. Now, on this island, the real thing of value is cows. Now, an average young woman brings two cows, okay? This is a really good illustration. I like this law paper. I've got some grinners out there, some guys just going, is he really going to go through with this? Yeah. Two cows for the average young woman, okay? If she's really bright and attractive, three cows. The all-time record ever given for a woman on this island, four cows. Now, there was a young man on that island that was really handsome, really, well, you could think of him looking like me, okay? I want to lighten y'all up. Okay, he's handsome. He was wealthy, unlike me, but he was handsome, wealthy. He was the island's most eligible bachelor. And the island was really shocked one day when he came out in the community and he said, everybody gather around, I've got an announcement to make. I've chosen my bride. All the girls were like, who is it? Is it me? Who's it going to be? And he said, I've chosen, and it's Lisa. And everybody goes, Lisa? Come on, community, we're going to Lisa's house. I'm going to barter with her dad. Along the way, some people in the community, they said, well, Lisa's dad ought to give him two cows to take her. So you getting the feeling? What's going on? So the young man, he gets up to the house and the dad comes to the door and he says, I want to marry Lisa. So he comes out in front of the entire community. The man says this, I will give you eight cows for Lisa. And everyone went, cows. Well, the dad didn't have to think about it. Okay, no bartering involved. You got her. He paid eight cows for this lady. That night, they went to their home that he had prepared on an adjacent island, an island that was real close. And there, they spent a year, the first year of their marriage. And at the end of that year, they came back for a visit. And when they came up on the shore in their little boat, everyone's mouths dropped to the floor. They said they got the grapevine going. Come on, yeah, you gotta come see these guys. You ought to see Lisa. They don't care about the guy. Come see Lisa. Look what she's become. Now she's not plain. She's not shy. She's not any of those things. Now she's beautiful. She's outgoing. You should see the transformation that's happened. All the island was oohing and awing over this girl. That evening they went home. But before they did, the guy's best friend said, okay, I want to know what happened. How did this Lisa transform into this beautiful, beautiful woman that you have with you today? He said, you know, he said, it's really easy. He said, Lisa was taught all growing up that she wasn't worth anything. He said, now I'm just treating her like an eight-cow lady, and she's acting like her. I have two purposes for this lesson today. Men, I want you to treat your wife like an 8-cow woman. And women, I want you to act like an 8-cow woman. Okay? Primarily, I'm talking to you ladies today through God's Word. And I hope that you're able to hear some things that will help you know more about who you're supposed to be in the kingdom of God. As we begin in our text, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. It says, an excellent wife who can find. An excellent wife who can find. Now, I have the New American Standard Bible, and that's what my Bible says. An excellent wife who can find. If you have the NIV, your Bible says what?
A wife of noble.
Noble. A wife of noble character. If you have the King James Engle, he doesn't have his Bible. The King James says virtuous. So I just titled my lesson today, an excellent, noble, virtuous wife. How's that? But I looked up this word, excellent, noble, or virtuous, depending on what translation you have, and I was really caught off guard at the meaning. The Hebrew word is, I'm really bad at Hebrew. Kayael. I can't say it very good. Skip the sound of it. But guess what it means? It means force or strength. Huh? Force or strength. Does that run a little bit contrary to your mindset, to your thinking? Why would it? Well, I want to point to a possibility. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, there we understand that the men are to treat their wives as a weaker vessel, okay? And as we've looked at that, I think, through the years, we've missed the point of that verse. I know that some men, and probably some women among us, have bought into the ideal, to the thought, that women are weak and frail and somehow can't help themselves and are gullible. I want to tell you one thing, that is not what that verse is saying, okay? I think that that verse in particular is talking about the way men approach the women. Women, it might be true, their bodies may not be weaker. Their bodies may be weaker than a man's. I'm not getting into all that. But here in Proverbs 31, it says that this woman is a strong woman. A woman of strength. And listen to me, ladies. I don't want any of you to think that you are just stuck in weakness and you can do nothing about it. God has made you to be women of strength. And we are going to be talking about, in the following verses, what that strength is about and how to become that. The question is posed here, an excellent wife, who can find? It's not sarcastic. God's not saying there's not any excellent women, you can't find them. Not his point at all. He says here, an excellent wife who can find. The first thing that I think of is the fact that men ought to be looking for excellent wives. Men should not be settling for anything. All you boys that hadn't got married yet, listen up, my boys. You look for excellent, noble, virtuous women. They're going to help you in your relationship with God. These type of women are to be sought after and held in high regard. I think that's what God wants us to understand. But the words themselves here, as you look at them in the Hebrew, their basic translation is the idea of coming forth in strength. Not just is an excellent or noble or virtuous wife a strong person, but she is to come forth. That really sets the stage for everything we're going to talk about here. Because you might say, hey, I fall a little bit short in some of these areas. That's okay. God's saying, step up to the plate. That's what he's saying, you know. He does the same thing with men, and here he's doing that with women. Strength for the godly woman begins did I miss a point here? Let me back up. I'm going to look at my text. Yeah. The second part of verse 10 says that her worth is far above jewels. Boy, ladies, I tell you what, I really want you to hone in and listen to what God's saying here. You are worth more than jewels. In my counseling throughout the years, I have often seen the destructive power of people who do not understand their value and their worth. It almost becomes at times a self-sabotaging type thing. It's sad to me to see many people buying into the idea that their worth or their value has to be earned or somehow deserved. Women of God, listen to me today. God Himself has assigned you your worth, and it is absent of anything that you do. God created you, God gave you your worth, because He is your maker, and you have great value. Amen? Brian Williams, last Monday on the NBC Nightly News, they tried to figure out what a housewife, what she was worth in dollars. Did you see how many people seen that? $122,000 a year is the number they come up with. That's a bunch, isn't it? But that's not a candlestick to being far above rubies or jewels. This is God saying, look, you noble wives, you are worth more than the finest and choicest of jewels. Fine and choice jewels far exceed $122,000. Are you catching that? You have great worth, even if your knot-headed husband doesn't realize it. Did you hear me? I know a lot of godly women that their husbands do not respect them, do not give them the honor that's due them. Shame on them. But you need to know that you have worth, even if your husband doesn't make you feel that way. I can't tell you how much kingdom business has been virtually stopped dead in its tracks because of low self-esteem. Ladies, when you don't understand your God-given value, your homes suffer. And your focus becomes misdirected, and Satan begins to rule your life through fear. I can hear the very words of the Lord in response to that statement. Fear not, ye of little faith. Fear not. Verse 11 says, the heart of her husband trust in her, and he will have no lack of gain. First of all, trust is the basic word used to describe the confidence that you have in someone else that you've entrusted something of value to. Right? Here in the text, the strong, godly wife, she has gained her husband's confidence. She's gained that trust. But I want to ask you, how'd she get it? Did the husband just blindly give it to her and say, man, I really hope you do the best with this? I want to suggest to you that that kind of trust is not blindly given. If you think about faith in throughout the New Testament, when it's used in the trust sense, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says that it includes evidence. If you don't see that word in your text, come see me for a Greek translation, okay? Faith, or that kind of trust, takes evidence. In essence, trust is built through time and continual behavior, okay? Time and time again, in other words, time and time again, the strong wife chooses to do the right thing. time and time again, she's not tossed about by every wave of emotion, but makes the right choice. Time and time again, she tells the truth, never trying to hide anything, never trying to deceive her husband in any way. Time and time again, she chooses to follow her husband's direction. And time after time after time, she handles her husband's valuables with great respect. Notice here that the heart of the husband is specifically in consideration, because the text says the heart of her husband trusts in her. That is the essence of all that he is, the essence of his knowledge, the essence of his emotions. Everything about the husband trusts and believes in her wife. Why? Because she has earned it. The text says, to that he will have no lack of gain. In short, his trust has been well placed, and his trust has a fruitful end and brings good returns. As I'm saying these things that I prepared, I'm looking out here and I'm thinking how many noble wives we have, and what an honor that is to the Lord and to us as well. Then the strong wife treats her husband good. Verse 12. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now it might be easy to start thinking about what kind of things that the wife does here and whether they're good or bad. You know, well, she does the laundry. That's a good thing. I don't care. That's real good. Well, sometimes she gets the kids ready. But I don't know as though the specific mention of what she does is under consideration here, but I think what's under consideration in the text is how she treats her husband. Not just what she does for him, but how she treats him. I'm going to do a little exercise here that I prepared. I want to do here's how a godly woman treats her husband, and here's how a weak woman treats her husband, okay? A godly woman, in the way that she talks to her husband, she's kind, and she is loving, and thoughtful, and caring, and tender. While a weak woman is sarcastic, hateful, and rude. A strong woman, in the way that she just looks with the expression on her face. She is smiling in love, winking sometimes, grinning, while a weak woman sneers in disdain. You ever see somebody do that? If you're listening on the internet, I made a good face. A strong woman, in the way that she thinks about her husband, she looks for the best. She's positive. She looks for possibilities. While the weak woman spends all of her time grieving about her husband's bad qualities and likes to share them with people. The strong woman, on the other hand, is a forgiving person. She's quick to make amends. She's quick to understand her own failings and give slack to her husband, while the weak woman secretly plots out a demise for her husband's failure. The strong woman, she listens to her husband. She sees the value in his ideas. She understands who he is and how God has appointed him in the home. While the weak woman thinks her husband to be a fool. The strong woman trusts in her husband. She believes in him, while the weak woman trusts only in herself. The strong woman is bent on following her husband, looking for that male spiritual leadership, while a weak woman only wants to follow her own way. The strong godly woman constantly seeks the good of her husband all the days of her life. The definition here also includes the idea of a ripening fruit. In essence, that is to grow and sweeten throughout a lifetime. God here, by very definition of words, is saying, look, noble women, I want you to know something. You are to be growing throughout your whole life in matters of godliness. A particular note here is that nothing in these verses say anything about the man and whether he deserves this treatment. Did you hear? Man, I got to talk fast. Oh, no, I got 10 minutes. See, I'm really paying attention. Nothing in this text says, you treat your man good if he deserves it. Nothing says that. Matter of fact, the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1 says that these type of men can be won over by their wife's actions. So you women, you godly women, you treat your man good even if he doesn't deserve it. Because if he doesn't deserve it, God just might work through your actions toward him. A strong wife takes care of covering her family with clothes, verse 13. She looks for wool and flax. Flax is a plant that's combined with wool to make a cloth, and works with her hands and delights. So first of all, a strong, godly woman considers the need for her family's covering. You know, the husband, he might work down at the factory and he might need some canvas pants and a work shirt to protect himself while he's welding or grinding. She considers that. She looks ahead and she plans for that. Well, her husband might wear a suit and a tie and he don't know how to choose the color of tie. She thinks about those things and she helps in those. Well, her kids, what if it's summertime, they might need shorts because it's hot, or the babies might need diapers. The godly woman is in consideration of covering her family. Let me tell you what, ladies, clothing your family is a serious business. This world, in many ways, has taken this so lightly and made it something demeaning, but let me tell you what, covering your family is an important thing. The Lord takes it seriously, and I think we're to take it seriously. With these things in mind, she goes out and she seeks the material to make these garments. But the language here gives us the idea that she doesn't just go out and do it, but she does it willingly and delightfully. She doesn't go out and say, man, I gotta go get all this stuff so I can... If I wasn't having to do this, I could be down playing tennis. All right, what do you women do? Whatever it is that women do, I could be doing that. She doesn't regard her. No, she's not just willingly, but she takes pleasure in it. Why? Because she's thinking about her family's needs. Wow, I'm pretty impressed at a godly woman, aren't you? She doesn't feel like a slave dreaming of being somewhere else. She sets her heart to what the Lord has put in it. She sets out to make it happen. Then a strong wife, she feeds her family. Let's look at verse 14 through 16. She's like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it from her earnings. She plants a vineyard. Man, we've got three boys, okay? Now, I don't eat much, but our boys do. My wife, she gets that shopping cart at Walmart, and by the time she gets up there to the checkout counter, they're like, are you serious? I mean, it looked like a covered wagon. It looked like a merchant ship. Let me tell you what. My wife, she goes shopping. She don't turn down that first aisle and say, ooh, peanut butter's on sale. Load her whole car with peanut butter and come home and say, peanut butter's on sale. We're going to eat peanut butter for the next year and a half. She don't do that. She takes a list. She sat down and said, you know what? Monday, we're eating hamburgers. I have to get buns, this. She has carefully made provision in a thoughtful way to take care of our family. She even says, you know what? That's not good for Dan because he's getting a little chunky. I'm going to get something nutritious. She's weighing it. Hey, let me tell you what. She does that. That's part of all that. She's looking for the nutritious things, the things that are filling, and sometimes she can bring home a pie just because it pleases. She's thinking about all those things. That's what a godly woman's about. Her merchant ships bringing food from afar. But this verse says more. This says that she gets up even while it's night. Man, if you're going to have a good pot of beans, you got to get up in the middle of the night and put them on early. And my wife does that from time to time. She'll get up during the middle of the night when the babies are little and feed those babies, and I'm over there passed out. You know, my eyes, I don't hear nothing. She said, do you hear the baby? I don't hear nothing. Godly women, they'll give up their sleep. I think the point here is the look at the level of dedication. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. I'm still going to keep this lumped under the feeding your family. This woman says, hey, if the store don't have corn, I'm going to plant some. My family's not doing without. We need grapes, I'm going to plant a vineyard. Now, when's the last time some of you ladies went and bought some property? I wish Sharon Burke was here, because she's done that. How does a woman have the ability to do that? Because she has her husband's trust. She has built up this trust, and she will not stop until her family is fed. And I say, wow, what a godly woman. You know, the world might make light of that. I don't take light of eating. It's fuel for my body, you know? And these women, my wife, she learned how to cook and she reads books on it. She goes to all extremes to make sure and provide stuff that's good and tastes good. She knows what hurts me, and she don't put cayenne pepper in my food because that'll hurt me. She knows all that stuff. Sometimes my wife cooks two meals. Now, I don't know about that extreme, but, you know, if one of us really like a meal and others don't, she'll even go to that extreme. Wow, talk about godliness. Okay, I got to hurry. Here's where we're ending the sermon. This is the last point before I wrap up the message. But we're going to end with the same place we began. Women are women of strength, okay? Verse 17 says, she girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. A strong, godly wife girds herself with the strength of the Lord. First of all, she recognizes that her own strength is not enough. So she turns to God and asks for help. And she goes to the right place for her strength, to God. Ladies, I want you to hear me. And all the men can come circle me with chuck wagons after the sermon and complain at me about this. Don't go to your husbands for your personal strength. God didn't make you to get your strength from your husband. All people get their strength from God. As we share that with others, I don't know how many women that I have seen place themselves in this horrible position in life because they find themselves in the position that they think that they have to be weak and that they have to look to their husband for their value and their worth. Not the case. Ladies, you find your strength in God. That's where your strength should come from. I picture in my mind a godly woman stepping up to the throne of God and wrapping herself with the truth of His Word. That's a godly woman, a strong godly woman. I want to point out in closing that this passage does not say that godly women never struggle. It does not say that at all. But it does indicate that godly women are to be growing and ripening throughout their lifetime. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4 says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. Now I want to tell you, there's more than one kind of crown. there's a nice crown of jewels like the Queen of England might put on, and then there's a crown of thorns. I want to ask you ladies today what type of crown you are to your husband. What area do you need to grow in? Maybe you need to ask the church for prayers today. That we might pray for some struggle that you have in regard to the relationship that you have with your husband. Perfect place for that to happen. And I want you to go home this week and know for certain one thing above all. You are a cow woman. This church has nothing less than an 8-cow woman, I guarantee it. Because God created you. Husbands, let's treat our wives like 8-cow women. And women, let's know that God made us to be that and step up to the plate. If you have need today, would you come as we stand and sing?